right, it's great to be back with you for another big gold nugget segment at GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's special guest, Sev Manashian from Public Retirement Planners. I have a guest who's making his debut appearance on the show. It's Sev Manashian. He is a CFP, a certified financial planner, who helps folks prepare for retirement. And with millions of baby boomers retiring every year, folks born from 1946 to 1964, this is a growing theme and something that everyone needs to be thinking of. In fact, Dennis Miller claims that the baby boomer generation is the least prepared in preparation for a retirement if they want to maintain their living standard. Welcome, Sev.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself as well as the services that you provide, and then we'll jump into some details on how our listeners can better prepare for their retirement years, golden years.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So Public Retirement Planners, we're just a full-service financial planning, investment management, insurance provider, and the main focus is on helping those that are in the public sector, police officers, fire chiefs, police chiefs, public sector employees in general, helping them prepare for retirement.
Very good. Well, you know, we have many of that group listening today, if our email responses and subscriber base is any indication. So why don't we jump right into some of the key components of a solid retirement account? I'm sure that you're going to be looking at a lot of diversification, because we want to diversify away as much non-systematic risk as possible, company risk. And of course, we do this through diversifying our shares and our bonds, but we also want to diversify away systematic risk, i.e. market risk. And we can do this by investing in non-correlated markets. Please tell us your thoughts.
Sure. That's excellent statements, Chris. And I, there were just a couple things before we wanted to jump into those topics. I just, there was one thing in particular I wanted to really get across to the listeners, and just going back about a minute or so, you're absolutely right when you say public sector employees, especially police, fire, public works guys, they love your show. So believe me, we talk about it all the time. But, you know, one thing I just want, and you had talked about the baby boom generation. We have a lot of individuals from that generation obviously retiring. And what I found starting just a few years ago is that these individuals have been putting into retirement plans, let's say 401k plans. That's for the private sector. But in the public sector, mainly where I operate, the 457 plan is the plan that many of these baby boomers have put money into. And what they're finding out from a tax perspective, talking about risk, what some are finding out is that the pre-tax dollars that they saved away, let's say last decade or in the 90s, now they're starting to withdraw those dollars. And for now, this is the exception, not the rule. But what's happening is that these individuals are actually paying, if not the same, but a little bit more in taxes on those dollars that they had originally planned. So that's causing a little bit of a little bit of a tax problem for these individuals. The mechanics of it is what has been happening is, let's say if you have a police chief of and I'm here just in the Chicagoland area, but let's say if you have a police chief who retires from a relatively large municipality, a lot of times smaller municipalities will then take that chief on to act as their police or fire chief. And what's happening is that that individual is making a pretty decent income in this new position, let's say about $120,000 per year. That chief or that highly paid individual is also getting a pension between, let's call it, $60,000 to $80,000 per year. In my opinion, well-deserved, because those are some brave folks there. In addition to the pension, a lot of times his or her spouse is working, let's say bringing in another $80,000 per year. And now when that individual goes to buy, let's say, a cabin, a brand new car, his or her son or daughter goes to get married, they're withdrawing, let's just say, $50,000 to $60,000 from their deferred compensation plan. What's happened is years earlier, when they were earning a lot less, they were in a lower tax bracket and getting a decent tax break, But now that they have all this income, they are being pushed into these higher tax brackets. So when it comes time to take these deferred compensation dollars, 401k, 457, 403b type plans, they are getting a little bit of a tax shock. So what I've been trying to do here is just to educate customers about diversifying possibly outside of some of these deferred compensation plans. And I just have a few ideas that I'd like to share with the audience. This is kind of an interesting idea. It has worked for some individuals, but instead of, let's say, preparing for retirement by dumping in huge sums of money into these deferred compensation plans and then having to pay the tax man when pulling those dollars out, one idea, and this is for individuals that are really, let's say, confident and really know what they're doing when it comes to real estate, they could treat rental property, provided that their timing is right, provided that, again, that they have a background in real estate or they have an advisor that's really good with picking out real estate, they can actually fund their retirement with some rental real estate. So it's just a little bit of diversifying outside of these tax plans. And then, they, of course, they have tax advantages by buying rental properties. They have depreciation expenses, you know, any sort of expenses that go into running that that property that they can take advantage of.
Sev, are we talking about rental properties that are owned outright, or are you talking about taking on mortgages here?
Well, they can take on a mortgage. Okay, now let's say if you have, and just as an example, let's say that you have your parent with a three-year-old child or your grandparent with a three-year-old grandchild. Let's say that you want to send that individual to that child to college when he or she turns 18. And one way that you can finance that college is not necessarily using these popular 529 plans. You have to watch out because a lot of those can be loaded up with fees. But if you really want hands-on control of your dollars, perhaps you think about taking out a mortgage. Again, just depending on the timing, of course, is very important. Or you can certainly buy a piece of real estate outright. But as I mentioned before, you have to be very, very careful. The timing has to be right. There has to be, you want to be buying, of course, real estate in areas where the job market is relatively stable or is expected to grow. So here, and I can only speak about here in the Chicagoland area, but I haven't looked too recently, but I think about 20 to 25% of the largest 100 companies in the U.S. are located either in Chicago or in the surrounding suburbs. So to me, that indicates a relatively stable job market. So if somebody takes on a mortgage, if they're careful about it, and have renters pay down that mortgage over a 15-year period, then all of a sudden what you've done in a relatively decent amount of time is that you've paid off a piece of property, you now have your child or grandchild who's 18 and ready to go to college, and those rental payments coming in from the renters can either offset or completely pay for 3, 4, 5 years of tuition.
For folks that maybe are not comfortable with having to manage or find a manager for these rental properties or any of the other headaches that might go along with it, let me know your thoughts on real estate investment trusts. I mean, right now we typically are recommending REITs that offer yields from as high as 5 to 15%. And some of these royalty trusts, energy trusts, are offering essentially almost tax-free dividends from 11 to 20% because they're taxed at ordinary income levels. I wonder if you could give me an idea how your concept differs or if these two are compatible.
I think they're certainly compatible. I was just giving the direct ownership real estate example or idea just as a way because of diversifying against equities. Not that I personally, I have a real estate investment trusts, and of course, I've paid attention to the Alpha Stocks newsletter, so I get ideas, of course, from your great newsletter. But what I'm finding is individuals are so overloaded with equities that I'm just using the real estate just as another example of a way to diversify. But the real estate investment trust, if somebody has a good advisor or if they're confident, I think it's a good way to diversify away from, let's say, just general equities, could obviously provide some good income, as we found with some of the REITs that are suggested in the Alpha Stocks newsletter.
Anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners today that's coming up in your business practice?
I do want to say, just going back to the plans very quickly, is 401k, 457s. I guess you could say I'm on a little bit of a mission. I would encourage listeners to really pay attention to your mutual fund expenses and also the administration, the custodian and record keeping charges that are associated with these plans. Because what investors can do, they could find, if it's effective from a tax standpoint, they can save their dollars outside of employer-sponsored plans. That could be an avenue to go down, because they can save, let's say, 0.5% all the way up to 2%, sometimes even 2.5%, on these administration, record keeping, and custodial costs, which are, they're fully disclosed by the companies that are offering these plans. But I found that, if I had to put a percentage, I would probably say 80% of investors are totally unaware of these high costs that are associated with these plans. And, you know, if we say that the S&P would return, I don't know, if we go back 60 years or so, I think it's, and Chris, you'd probably have to back me up here, but I think it's a safe bet to say the S&P has returned around 7.5% the last 60 years. But investors in these retirement plans don't realize that they could be paying 1.5%, 2.5% just in costs, just for the privilege of having that plan. So they might be able to go out and do something like buy rental real estate, buy agricultural land, timberland, stocks outright, some of the REITs that we're talking about. So I just wanted to encourage people just to please look into your costs. You could be up against a pretty heavy headwind there.
Everyone needs to do their due diligence. I'd only add, though, you have to keep in mind all of the significant costs associated with home ownership. I mean, we're talking about everything from taxes to upkeep, repairs. If I was going to send anyone down this avenue, I'd let them know this is going to be a little bit more involved probably than a part-time job. And then once you have several years under your belt, I mean, it's probably a self-regulating system. I mean, that's true. But at first, there's going to be a learning curve. We want to make sure that everyone knows that this is going to take some due diligence and work on your part. Well, Sev, we certainly appreciate your thoughts today. Could you please tell our listeners how they can find out more about the services you provide?
Sure, Chris. If anyone is interested in speaking with me, my website and company name are the same. So it's Public Retirement Planners, and it would be Public Retirement Planners, plural there on the end, .com. I'd be happy to speak with anybody that has any questions for me.
Very good. We're going to look forward to having you back on the show, Sev.
Thank you very much, Chris.